This is Apollo Control at 130 hours, 35 minutes. The news conference is ready to begin, and we'll take down the release line during the conference.
Okay, I guess we're ready to begin. This is flight director on the ship, Glenn Lunny, and Glenn will give us a rundown on the shift as usual, and we'll follow that with questions.
I would have brought some more people over with me tonight in areas that I'm sure you're interested in, but right now everybody's fairly busy. We expect that we will depress the cabin within an hour to an hour and a half from now, although that time may be off a few minutes either way. We came on duty this morning or this afternoon, and I understand Jerry Griffin had a briefing on the first EVA. Well, essentially, we were on during a period when there was when the pilots were sleeping and there was not much activity. But just briefly, we went over all the debriefing comments on the first EVA, checked the plus consumables, the backpack consumables, with the water weights that the pilots passed to us after the first EVA, and we also had some discussion about water in the suit hoses. We don't know any more about that today than I believe was reported to you by Jerry this afternoon. There is some water apparently in the commander's hoses. It's a theory that perhaps the length of hoses is just allowing the hose to droop a little bit and the water to settle out more than it does in the shorter hose on the LMP, and that the cold liquid, the water which is in a tube around that oxygen hose, is causing any water or moist air to condense in the suit. So we don't have any more of a explanation than that theory at this time. However, the pilots slept well. Pete did not complain about it since he woke up, and we're not anticipating that it's going to give us any problem that we can't cope with. During EVA, there was no problem with the water in the suit loop, and it seems to be mostly of occurring when the men are hooked up to the ship ECS rather than the backpack. The night was quiet. Both spacecraft are performing well. There are no anomalies other than those that have already been reported to discuss with either of the two spacecraft. We had some discussion with the crew about an element of the side experiment, that is one of the cold cathode ion gauges having to do with measuring the atmospheric pressure on the moon. The problem with that is that the readings that we're getting in the control center should be probably lower than they are, and they should have gotten down there real quickly after a cover was blown loose. That did not occur. That is, the pressure is going down, but going down fairly slowly to what you would think the ambient pressure on the moon is. And it's possible that the unit has tipped over with its sensing instrument nose down in the ground. You recall that we added that, or you may have heard a little while ago that we added that to the Traverse plan, which I'll discuss in a minute. But that's the reason for that being added. The commander woke up at about 1:29:06, so about 50 minutes to an hour prior to the planned wake-up time. He was anxious to get started with the EVA, and as we told them before they went to sleep, before the sleep period, if they woke up and were ready to go, we would proceed with it. The commander gave us the estimate of the start time of about 1:30, 1:30, or 1:32, which we'll see about soon. We were able to verify during the night, by the way, as we reported to the commander this morning, that the range rate indication was okay, and the slightly off nominal readings they were getting during the descent yesterday when they were doing the paraloon checks were due to the slightly non-nominal orbits and the charts and the way in which that number is computed, and the instrument itself is working fine and will be fine for the rendezvous. On the backpacks, by weighing the water, we were able to update the usage rates of both the water and get a better handle on what we were using the oxygen for. In both cases, both the water and the oxygen, the backpacks were doing better than we predicted. It appears that the men are putting out less work to do the same kind of task that we have outlined than we anticipated, and the BTU per hour is down by about 10 to 20% compared to that we predicted pre-flight. We expect that the workload for this next EVA will probably be down about 10% from what we predicted pre-flight, also based on our experience with the first EVA, and therefore we expect to be in real good shape on the consumables. Whether we would extend the EVA that will soon come up or not is a matter to be handled in real time as we go along, as we see how much we're getting done, and as we continue to monitor the status of these consumables. But based upon their performance in the first EVA, that is the performance of the backpacks, there would be plenty of consumables to extend. Let me acquaint you briefly, if I can, with the Traverse plan. We landed about 600 feet northwest of the Surveyor, to the best of our ability to pin it down, and it's there within 100 feet or so. The first activity when they get out will be, aside from the ladder work and getting down there, will be associated with the television camera. We're going to turn it back on and see if we can get it to work. If we can't get it to work, we're going to turn it off, and before the men leave the vicinity of the spacecraft, they will clip the wires with the cutters that they will use at the Surveyor, and then leave it in the vicinity of the spacecraft. They'll then go on out to the northwest to the ALSEP and take a look at the cold cathode ion gauge unit to see exactly how it's sitting on the ground and whether the cover is on or off. After that time, they will then come on, having gone up from the spacecraft to the northwest, they'll swing on down below the spacecraft and come on around, going through a number of what you might call checkpoints, where we've laid out different activities to help the geology program, that is panoramic photographs, core samples, documented samples, etc., at which time they will enter the area of the Surveyor and do the perform work there, and then head on back to the spacecraft. We have a stowage plan for the television camera, which they would pick up and bring back into the ship. And you probably heard, or they will have on the air-to-ground transcript, the particular geological features or activities that we'll be engaged in at a couple of control points as we move along in the timeline. We're going to bring back one rock bag in the cockpit rather than two because of some recent studies which indicate that you don't want to tie down any more than the weight that would be in one bag rather than the weight that would be in two, so that you wouldn't run the risk of any loose objects flying around the cockpit once we get in powered flight. And probably the last change that would be of significance is we will try to get a core tube sample with two core tubes connected so as to get a sample from a deeper depth at the moon, and that'll be stowed, of course, as usual in the rock boxes and brought back. And I think the success of that will depend upon the particular soil that we end up trying to take the sample in. Very quickly, then, that's the status. The two ships are in real good shape. The commander reported he and Al were feeling fine this morning, or just an hour ago when they woke up. We're going to let the command module pilot sleep to about the scheduled time, which would probably coincide with the beginning of the EVA. On the high-gain antenna, if anyone has a question about that, we don't know any more than was last reported to you. We're summarizing for ourselves all that we know about that situation. However, we're not in any hurry to get in any troubleshooting at this time. We would be content to continue on the Omnis. Just recently, we have the Goldstone 210 dish, I think it's a Goldstone, one of the 210 dishes covering the moon so that we're able to get the high bit rate or the maximum intelligence telemetry from the CSM on the AMI antenna. So that doesn't represent any kind of constraint to continuing the operation as we're doing it now. That about sums it up. I'll try to answer any questions.
That appear and come across the front.
I didn't quite understand about the rock bags. Does that mean that you're going to bring back half the amount you expected to?
Still, fill up two rock bag boxes. We were also going to try to bring back an additional two bags full of rocks, but that's going to be one bag now instead of two. Okay.
Why are the BTUs down?
I guess that's a little bit hard to say, but the prediction that we make as to what the workload is going to be at the moon is based on approximations of what the men will have to deal with in the lunar environment in the 1/6G, and apparently we just overestimated it by about 10%.
Well, I got in late, and if you covered this, I'm sorry, and I'll pick up on it from someone else, but why are you going to clip the wires on the TV if the TV camera is not workable? And also, I asked earlier today whether there would be any possibility of bringing the TV camera back for failure analysis, and I haven't got an answer on that.
The answer to your second question is yes. If we turn it on and it doesn't work, we will bring it back for failure analysis, and the reason for clipping the wires is to get it.
To follow up on that, will you put it in a bag? Obviously, it'll be, quote, contaminated, unquote. So
we'll put it in a lithium hydroxide canister in the LAM, and then, of course, we'll put it. I'm not quite sure where. I didn't hear in the command module they have a place, and we'll have to treat it like any other material that we have in the cockpit.
Right up here on the aisle.
What is the total footage on the Traverse?
I can only give you an estimate of that, but it would be on the order of a mile. And the furthest distance they would be from the lunar module would be on the order of about 1,500 feet as the crow might fly. They will be about southwest when they are 1,500 feet, which would be their furthest straight line distance from the lunar module. Southwest.
What is the thinking now about the TV camera, and is there going to be any consideration to taking a backup on future flights?
Well, relative to the camera, we don't know why it failed. I described to you the process we have for bringing it back to find out why it failed, and any decision about a backup would really depend upon what we found out about that, and we certainly wouldn't make one here today.
Could I ask one other follow-up question?
Pertinent right now. Supposing that you turn it on, it does work. You have had a failure in this thing. Would you not then want to bring it back afterward for failure analysis anyway?
When I left, I hadn't worked it all the way through to that, but I think the answer will be yes to that question.
Get this one out here.
Theoretically, visual estimation of distance should be faulty on the moon or be difficult. Has there been any evidence that visual estimation of distance is faulty?
None that I am aware of, although I can't say that categorically.
On the Traverse, there was also some discussion about rolling a rock to make the seismic experiment work. What's that about?
Well, it's precisely that, to roll a rock down one of the craters to see if we will get any kind of a signal. Secondly, I think, although I'm getting out on a limb, that there's probably something to be learned about taking photographs before you roll it and then taking the photographs of its path down the hill and seeing what it does to the soil as it goes down.
I'm still a little confused on the rocks and the elimination of this. I think it totaled out to 15 pounds from what the capsule communicator said that would not be brought back. Yet you're bringing back a camera and cable weight 13 plus pounds. Why couldn't you put the rocks in the lithium hydroxide canister and keep the scientists happy?
Well, the only problem with that is one of handling the rocks in the in the cockpit and doing and putting the rocks in there. It turns out that the canister seems to be fitted to handle the camera, but the problem with having the rocks in there, without having some way of covering the canister and tying it down, which we don't readily have, although we could rig one probably, would be that they might become loose in the cockpit, which we'd not want.
Mr. Fowler, what is that? That cut from something to about 20 pounds. What's your total amount of rocks and soil you now expect to get back from the lunar surface on this mission?
I don't know. It's something like 80 to 100 pounds, but I don't know the exact number. 80 to 100, but I'm not sure the exact number. And one bag. Yes.
So you will have more than came from the Apollo.
Yes.
As I understand the present traverse plan, you're going to go down the western slope of the crater that the surveyor is in. Isn't it true that all the prior evidence we have is that that slope is twice as steep as the slope that the surveyor is resting on? We're only going on Conrad's visual estimation of the fact that that slope is not as steep as originally thought.
To the first part of your question, I don't know what the slope is on that side. I'd always paid attention to the photographs on the eastern side, which were about 14 to 15 degrees, as I recall. At this stage of the game, though, I think we would have to go with an accurate estimate, probably more accurate estimate of what the slope is on that side, on the western side, from the pilots there observing it.
Do you... discussing the traverse on air to ground, you started to give coordinates for all these checkpoints. Would it be possible to get a list of these coordinates for the entire traverse?
We have them, and I assume that they can get them over to you. I don't have them with me, though.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get that for you.
And you know they're in the maps that the pilots are carrying. It's in the. You would need the map to go with it. Okay.
Come right up here and then go back over here.
You have said so far that the slope where the surveyor is on is 15 degrees, which is not a very steep slope, but the astronauts keep saying that it's a very steep slope. Now, is your estimate wrong, or are they seeing it wrong? What would you say?
The estimate we have of the 15 degrees, of course, is pre-flight. What they're telling us is that the approach to the surveyor, irregardless of the numbers that anybody's estimating or talking about, appears to be a lot easier from the western side, and that's the side that they prefer to approach it from. So that's what we will do.
I wondered if it were possible to release these detailed maps of these areas prior to the missions, the way you release the flight plans, because we're all struggling a fair amount to try and map out these traverses. And now we're talking about coordinates. We could have solved that problem if they were released before. Perhaps we could consider that for 13.
I'll ask Mr. Ward.
I think the problem on the maps is one of availability. I don't know that I can speak categorically about all maps, but I know that a number of them have been in great demand and very short supply right up to the mission. And it's, as I understand it, the major problem is just the availability of some of these maps, getting the people available to work on them and to turn them out. And we just haven't had that many of them. I have one right over here.
By coupling up the sampling tools, if the ground's soft enough, how deep can they go?
I think the one is about that big, so two is about that big. I don't know the dimensions. It's about 18 inches, I think, with the two of them. Is that not right? Someone here ought to know that.
I guess a couple more up here in front.
Maybe they're... This is an old story, but I've not kept track of it. Are there going to be dust samples taken back for a scientific study?
They can't help it.
Yeah, I know that. But
I think they get a fair amount of dust in the boxes that they bring back, and they'll get a fair amount just in the cockpit.
Does dust have a peculiar or specific action on the skin? Does it... Is it easily absorbed into the skin, or is anybody...
I really not qualified to answer that, but I haven't heard any reports that say it is. one.
The speculation I heard about the problem with the camera was that the lens burned out. Well, you don't burn the lens of a camera out normally. Is it the coating on the cathode ray, on the image tube, or what?
As I understand it, it's the Vidicon tube that is of concern. However, it's not conclusive that that is what is burned, or that it's not something mechanical. It's not the lens inside on the tube.
Let's get one last question over here.
How is the final medical status of the three astronauts, both Wayne Conrad and Dick Gordon on the CSM?
When the commander woke up this morning, he spoke for both of the men in the LEM, and they both had about 5 hours sleep and were feeling fine, they reported, and they sound to be very eager to get on with the day's work. Dick Gordon is still asleep, of course, but our last conversation with him indicated he also was feeling fine.
Thank you very much.
This is Apollo Control at 130 hours, 57 minutes. There was very little conversation during the news conference. We'll turn those tapes over to the transcript operation. Pete Conrad has just come up and advised that they will be starting the portable life support system communications checks in 2 to 3 minutes. They are at that point in their pre-EVA preparations. We have advised the crew that when they get to the cold cathode ion gauge at the ALSEP, that we will advise them as to whether to touch it or not. We're going to leave the power on that and have them tell us what status that instrument is in. And if there's a need to touch it, we will turn the power off from the ground and advise them when they can touch it. And the Capcom, Ed Gibson, sent brief messages to Pete Conrad and Al Bean from their wives. Jane Conrad sent congratulations on the job well done on the first EVA, and Sue Bean advised Al that she and the children were tired but happy, and that both wives were looking forward to following the second EVA. We'll come up now and live again and monitor.